Christian. You know, I tell you, here's what you got to come to grips with. We've got something to sing about. Man alive, I tell you, in this day and age, with you walking around with a frown on your face is a tragedy. It's like walking into the stadium as the New York Yankees. You know you're going to win. And I don't even like the Yankees. I really don't. But they had a swagger. When they come in, they walk like that. Yeah, that's right. As Christians, guess what? When we walk around, that's right, we won. Amen. Good night in the morning. Man, that's exciting. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died for this sorry old carcass right here. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Exodus. Chapter 23. While you're turning there, I read this funny little story. You'll get a kick out of this. At least I hope you will. Little boy was sitting on the potty. And if you've got children potty, you know what that is. Little boy was sitting on the potty, and the family was in a real rush to get out the door. And Tommy, come on. We got to go. Mom walks in the door because the boy's in there for a long time. She walks in the door and sees her son patting himself on the head. That struck her as funny. What pet? Why is he doing that? So she walked out a little while. She walked in a little bit later. Kid's still in there patting on his head. Said, Tommy, I got to ask you, son, what are you doing? We're in a rush. We got to go. You're sitting on the commode. We got to go. Tommy says, it works for a bottle of ketchup. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. You know what's sad is right in the middle of this message, Lizzie's going to get that joke. And it's probably going to be in a very serious part. Exodus chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. Can we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God tonight? I want you to notice this about God's provision. I want you to see this. Because we ought not ever go on our own accord. I want you to see this. Verse 27. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Christian, you need to see this now. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach. Lord, please let us in our lives not get ahead of ourselves. Lord, there's times when we as humans decide that we know what's best. There's times that we decide that we maybe need to speed up your will a little bit. Lord, I pray that you would help us to check ourselves and realize that it should be in your time, not in our time. When we do things in our life, it should be letting you go on before us to drive out the enemies, even if it's little by little. Lord, we should be willing to wait for that. Help us today. Lord, please, make me to decrease tonight to nothing, and make you to increase to everything through this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Title of the message tonight, Brother John, is You Are Taking Too Long. When a child talks to their parents, they desire to have things immediately. Most children aren't willing to wait. Even if you make them sit down for 5 minutes and wait, it's like torture. You ever seen a child squirm waiting for something? It's ridiculous. What's amazing with adults, we lose that. You say, that's right, because I get patience when I get older. No, you don't. You don't get patience. You get, I give up. Kids don't have the thought in them to give up. Most kids will sit there and squirm for 5 minutes and cry out, Dad, 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 and never stop until Dad finally says, all right. But as adults, the Lord won't give it to you, and you quit. And what's amazing is this, and I'm going to start it out this way, but this is nowhere near where I'm headed, but it is a good thought. You know, God's not going to make a Christian a complete, full, and utter Christian in a day. Now, I understand. When they get saved, they're a Christian. They are a Christian now. They're saved. They're going to heaven. You don't have to have a miraculous. It's a thing of believing in Christ. Miraculously, inside of you, you become a new creature. Amazingly enough, Christians decide when and if you become a new creature, it seems. Christians decide. Well, you're not a new Christian enough. You must not be saved. How many people have you heard that? Well, they're just not saved. Because the Bible says, well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Why aren't they new in that person? You know, what's funny is a lot of times, and you need to grab a hold of this, because I believe that it would be better for the Lord to beat back the enemy little by little, so when that person is finally ready to be a faithful Christian every second of their life, that they are ready to be that strong. Amen. Far too many times, very good friend of mine, boy, he jumped in, Brother Mike, with both feet into Christianity. Both feet, man. He came, we went out and bought himself suits. He went and bought him every commentary that he could get on the Bible. He went out and bought him things. And boy, he came. He was all right out of sight. He's not even serving God now. Why? Because he grew too fast. Little by little, the Lord beat the enemy back. Why? If you don't beat the enemy back little by little, you're not going to be able to defeat what is already there. Your land will become barren, the beasts will overcome you, and you'll be worse off than you were before. Not even part of the message, but boy, that is good. I would rather have a tree that grows over 50 years than a tree that grows up in 5 years. Because the minute the storm comes through on that 5-year tree, the tree's going down. But on a fifth, boy, you look at some of these oak trees, good Lord have mercy. You couldn't get them down with a chainsaw. You're sharpening your blade every, oh, that's enough. You know, they're just tough to get down. That's what mature Christians ought to be. And we ought to be willing to wait for that. We ought to be willing as Christians to wait for folks to mature into Christians that are, they're already usable by God. Let God use them. Amen? Just a coupon. In verse 29 and 30, the Lord tells them, I'm not going to drive them out from you in 1 year. Don't expect that. Because if I do, that's going to be more harm than good. But what he does say, little by little, I will drive them out. I'm not going to drive them all at one time, but I am going to drive them out. He promised them this. And still, when they get to the promised land, you know the story. They sent out 12 spies, and as Brother Lester Roloff would say, that was 10 too many. And the 10 came back, gave a bad report. 2 came back, let's go eat them up like this hot biscuits. Boy, I love Lester Roloff. But what happened was this. They forgot that the Lord said, I'm not going to take them all away from you at once. I'm going to take them out little by little. Just go. Your enemies will have their backs turned. They'll be all stung up by bees. I am coming. I'll be before you. You just watch and go. And they didn't. So they wandered. Wandered in the wilderness, wandered. I want you to look with me. If you will turn over to 25, verse 1. Of Exodus. We talk about the people of Israel sometimes and we say, man, you know, they got to see God. Can you imagine that? Pillar of fire, pillar of a cloud, and you got to see God. You got to see the Red Sea being parted. You got to see all these things with your eyes, yet still they rebelled. Still, they just didn't believe that God was going to do what he promised them he was going to do. And you might say, boy, if I was there, I would have. No, you would have been right with them saying, where's the manna now, God? You know, you'd have been right there complaining. You'd have been right there crying about it. You'd have been right there doing the same things. Don't be too hard on the Israelites. But they get to this point in chapter 25. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly from his heart, ye shall take my offering. And he starts to teach them in this spot. He goes up into the mount. You know this. They go up to the mount. Let me read this to you so you get a picture of this. Verse 16 in chapter 24. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. They looked up onto this mount and they saw like it was a devouring fire up on this mountain. And the Lord says, Moses, come on up. We've got to have a talk. He takes him up into this mountain. He teaches Moses. He's gone for 40 days and 40 nights. He teaches them how to build the tabernacle. Have you ever read about the tabernacle, even just a little bit? Do you know how intense the building program was for the tabernacle? How insane the information was on it. The Lord is not, I get this all the time. I got another coupon here. I might not get done tonight. I get all the time that the people say, well, that's what the Bible says, but that's not really what God's telling you. Let me ask you a question. The Levite, or the fellow that was walking next to the ark that steadied it because it was going to fall, and he died? He died because God said, don't touch the ark. It's amazing. We mock God when it comes to his word. You can say what you want to say. We mock God when it comes to his word. God says this is it. This is God said it. This is it. He doesn't need your approval. He doesn't need to ask you your opinion. God said it. That's it. Yet we look and say, well, that's not really what God means. That's crazy talk. We're going to meet God someday. We're going to meet God someday, and you're going to be, wow. I think you're going to have a hard time even looking at him at all because of his almighty and his holiness. And we fool around with the word of God like it's no big deal. Well, a better translation of this word would be, don't say that in this church, brother.
Amen.
A better thought here would be, and some theologian gets up here and speaks to you pretty talk, and you all of a sudden, oh, he must be right. But that's not what the Bible says. It's no surprise to me that the Israelites didn't believe it because we don't believe it. We've got it in black and white. Yes, they saw it, but we've got it in black and white. Saw the devouring fire up on top of this mountain, called Moses up there. Moses had the instructions to build the tabernacle. He had the instructions to build the ark. He had the instructions to build the mercy seat, the curtains, the altar, the veil, the court, the lamps, vessels of the tabernacle, Aaron's clothes, which took about a chapter and a half to get done, a breastplate, told him of the setting apart of the priest, how to consecrate them for his service, offerings and sacrifices, the brazen laver, and much, much, much more. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, letting the Lord tell him Moses was brilliant. Now, I believe with all my heart that the Lord gave him that knowledge. I believe the Lord picked the right fella because, listen to me, it took somebody pretty smart to hear it. Let me give you an example. My wife can tell me something. 3 things to get from the store. I've learned to teach myself this, Brother Mike. If I've got to get more than 2 things from the store, I make a list. All the men shout in acclamation, hallelujah. That's right, brother, good preaching. Why? Because we get distracted. We get distracted. We walk in, see the sports cards right there, say, oh, that's Troy Polamalu. Something gets on our mind. We just absolutely, and we come back. What'd you forget? That's the first thing. I come in the door, my wife says, what'd you forget? Nothing. I got it all. Where's the bread? Oh. And you just turn back around and walk back out. Moses had all these things given to him, and he brought it back word perfect. Now, I know that these tablets made of stone that God wrote with his finger. Could you imagine that, by the way? How neat would that be? In stone, watching God go, writing out the instructions, writing out whatever it was on those tablets of stone. Moses getting so violent when he came back down, he crushed him on the ground. That's mad. Moses must have been brilliant. He's up there getting all these instructions. All these instructions are being given to him. I want you to look with me. Look over. Let's skip way up. I've taken a lot of time. Let's skip way up. Let's go to 32:1. Yes, still in Exodus, brother. I'm never leaving Exodus. I'm not exiting Exodus tonight. We'll skip a little of this, and I'll just kind of read. I'm just going to give you my heart. Verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up." I'm going to stop there for a minute because I want to explain something to you. I believe that Aaron made a lot of mistakes at this time. I understand that. I'm fully aware that an associate pastor shouldn't run things. That's the preacher's job. Say what you want to. I know my place. My place is not usurping my dad's authority. My dad's the man of God here. I'm a man of God here. I'm a preacher. Don't mess with that. But understand this. He is the shepherd. He is the guy. Not my job to run the church. Thank God. But when you come to your associate pastor, don't you dare look at me and say, up. Not because, listen, not because of who I am, but who the Lord has made me to be. First of all, as a Christian, you ought not to command anybody like that. That's foolishness. They come up to Aaron all mad and upset and go, wow, glory to God. Up, boy. That was in the Hebrew. Up. And he gets up. Make us gods. Because Moses is gone. We don't know what's going to become of him. Moses is gone. We need you to make us somebody that we can see. Apparently the devouring fire on top of the mountain's not enough. Give us something. Hey, listen to me, Christian. You think, well, this is foolish. Is it really? Because is there times when you would say to God, you show me yourself. You dirty, rotten dog, you wait on God to show himself. Yep. So these men are sitting there. Oh, we need a God. Ignore that mountain up there. We need a God. So they break off all this gold and bring it to him. All this gold. They bring it to, by the way, where did they get the gold? They got the gold from Egypt. From that mighty hand that God brought them out. And spoiled the Egyptian people. They walked into the Egyptian and said, hey, man, I need some money. You got some money? Oh, yes, anything you need. Give it to them on the way out the door. How exciting would that be? That'd start a Baptist revolution if we get something going like that. Take offering plates door to door instead of tracks. All the deacons are like, hey, amen. Make us gods, verse 1, which shall go before us. Did the Lord, I read with you, the Lord said, I'm going to go before you, right? Listen to this now. Make us gods, Moses, or make us gods, which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. First of all, Moses did not bring them up out of Egypt. Moses led them, but he didn't bring them up out. God brought them up out. But look at what it says. Aaron said back to them, break off the golden earrings. He didn't even argue a bit. You coward. I dare you to come to me and say you ought to go to the NIV. I dare you. I dare you. The answer is going to be no, just to let you know. Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. Who was doing the work here? Aaron wasn't. No, God wasn't doing the work. David, read the Bible. Aaron was doing the work here. Aaron had the graving tool in his hand putting this together for the people because he was a coward. A little backstabbing associate pastor. It'd be like me standing over here saying, your preacher really isn't doing a great job. That's exactly what it's doing. And if I start talking like that, boot me up out of here. Who am I to say what God's man's supposed to do? Who are you to say what God's man's supposed to do? I wasn't even supposed to say that. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. It's not even anywhere in my notes. Of course, I haven't looked at my notes yet, so that I don't know. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. After he had made it, I tell you, I can't come apart from that. Can you think with me for a minute? I love beef. Oh, Lord have mercy, I love beef. PETA is one of the greatest places that are out there. People for the eating of tasty animals. Animals, they're fun to pet, better to chew. Amen. Amen. There's nothing like a steak. You can say what you want to say. You have vegetarians out there crawling in your skin right now. You have it medium rare one time, you'll give up broccoli. I love steak. But I am not in the vote of animals to be picked, to be fashioned as the God that's going before me. I'm going to pick a cow. What are people thinking? Maybe that was the only animal he could make with a graving tool. Think about that for a minute. That changes your songs, doesn't it? Amazing Grace would be Amazing Graze. How sweet the ground that fed a God like me. Nothing but the cud of Bessie. See, what you got to understand is this. We get foolish. No, listen. You're laughing with me right now because it's hilarious that they would do this. But you look at me and you listen to me. What do we do to supply gods for ourselves? What do we choose as idolatry in our lives? What do we choose to take the place? I guarantee it isn't even good as a golden cow. What we choose. What in the world would you do as opposed to going to church? We got a great crowd here tonight. Probably the greatest church in all of America. I say that because I love this church and we've got fantastic people here. I know there's other churches represented, but understand this. I believe this is a fantastic church. But there are still times in our lives when we'll choose something else over church. Don't understand it. Doing that is usurping God and saying, your appointed time that we're supposed to be here isn't good enough for me. It doesn't work with my schedule. Could you imagine not working with God's schedule? You're going to have a hard time in heaven.
Amen.
Because all the clocks are gone, and God's the only thing on the agenda.
Amen.
Boy, that's going to be great.
Amen.
These people fashion a cow. And I want you to see what they said about this new God that they're going to follow. Because it's scary to me, the attitude that they took about it right away. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these, listen to me now, they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He just made it. How was it there? But the people, and they're clamoring for God to show them something, and they're clamoring for God to go before them, and they're clamoring for someone that they could see. They chose that and gave that credit for bringing them to where they are today. Oh, this is good now. Don't you turn me off yet. What do you give credit to for bringing you to the place you are today? The smiles that you had over Amazing Grace are gone now. Listen to me. If you sit there and you start giving yourself or anybody else credit for bringing you to where you are today, you're missing it. That person that witnessed to you was your soul winner that witnessed to you. Somebody had to soul win to you. Oh, man. Oh, here's a thought. Brother Mike Sells asked me this question today. This is good stuff, man. He says, in your life, I'm 39. I know 25 is what you think, but I'm 39. He asked me, in your 39 years of life, how many people have witnessed to you? Start thinking about your life. Think about your life right now. Your life. How many people have brought the gospel to you? I've had it two times. Twice. 39 years, somebody came up and said, I told you about the first time this morning. That's what brought it up with him. Long hair down in the middle of my back, stupid earring in my ear. And a fella came up to me and said, you need to be saved. How many times have you been talked to about the Lord? You personally. The thought has to cross your mind, that's scary. That's scary that only two people in 39 years have come and talked to me about Christ. I went with Mike Porter soul winning one day. Never forget it. He went to this lady, and she was probably 75 or 80 years old. She asked the lady, how long you lived here, ma'am? She said, all my life. Long time of living there. He said, how many people have knocked on your door and presented the gospel to you? Oh, listen to this, Christian. She pointed her finger at Brother Mike and said, you're the first. You're the first because the citywide campaigns are over, right? Is that what it is? You're the first because the six-week revival times are over, right? Is that why? There used to be six-week revivals, brother. It didn't used to be 6 hours. It used to be 6 weeks. It used to be that you could come to church and you liked being here. It used to be that it wasn't about having time for church. It was having time for everything else that went around church. It used to be that God wasn't something that we talked about only when it was important on the news. God was normal to talk about. It wasn't that grace was the only prayer you said during the day. As the feet move back in the aisle because they don't want to be stepped on. Prayer is something you can do all the time. Did you know that? You don't have to be in a special place. I believe it's wonderful to be at the altar to pray, but you can be anywhere and pray.
Amen.
Especially since you took the Lord's taken up residence inside of you, you can just say, hey, God. He probably hears you. You're not even a millimeter apart. We can pray at any time. But we save and reserve our best prayers for dinner time. And I can understand if beef was there. When steak's involved, you've got to pontificate. Maybe even a little genuflection. Oh, Lord, thank you for this merciful bounty. Hey, listen to me. We have set priorities. And you can say what you want to say. You can be who you want to be. But you have said in your life, you have set priorities. The priority in our lives, and I know it was wonderful to have those six-week revival meetings. I understand it was wonderful to have all-night prayer meetings. I understand those things. But the reason those things are gone away is not because they weren't fashionable. It's because the people that used to attend them are gone. I talked to you this morning about individual ministry, your ministry. Don't rely on your preachers for all the ministry. You got to have your own ministry. You got to be able to say, listen, I'm trying to bring people in for the Lord, for me, because he's told me to do some things.
Amen.
We sit on our laurels a lot. That's why there's people out there at 85 years old never had a door knocked on. That should make you cry. And what happens in our life is we just set priorities. And in this day and age, priorities have gotten more and more and more valuable all the time because we're running out of time. I mean, literally running out of 24 hours just isn't enough. We're running out of time. We're running out of the Lord's time. And because of that, we've set up things in our life that really are not godly. And those have become our priority. Those have become what we look to all the time to lead us. Well, it is because of the great doctrine taught by Dr. Hiles in his Christian Science book that's what's brought me to where I am. It is because of the great preaching of Dr. Skiver that has brought me to where I am. It is because of the Christians like you that has brought me to where I am. No, it's because God has brought you to where you are.
Amen.
Don't throw somebody else up on that platform and say, that's the one. That's the one that brought me to where I am. That's the one. Oh, no. It was God that took you out of the land that you were in. It was God that brought you to where you are. And if you'll wait on him little by little, God will bring you way over there.
Amen.
It's amazing how quickly we get ahead of ourselves. It's amazing how quickly we can't wait to set up God's in front of us. Something has to be done, though. Something's got to be done to get away from this. It's got to be. If you look, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Dirty, rotten. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation like he was in charge and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. If cow's your God, what in the world are you going to eat? Yeah, as the chickens come down from Chick-fil-A. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what we've done today. We just rise up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, now the Lord knew this was coming, by the way. Nothing ever occurred to God. He tells Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. You ever said that to your kids? Mother, come get your son. You ever said that to your wife? Come get your son. Driving me nuts. My wife says it all the time. Honey, come get your son. Well, now he's my son, right? Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sanctified or sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I hope and pray that God never says that about any of you in here, that you are a stiff-necked people, although I got to believe that the Lord said that about me more than once. Now, therefore, let me alone. Listen to this now. God saying this. Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee of thee a great nation. Amen. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the lands of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self and sentest them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, that they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other side they were written. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Joshua starts to hear this. I'm going to have to paraphrase a little bit for time. Joshua hears this great tumult. Doesn't sound like they're in a battle, though, Moses. It sounds like they're singing and dancing. Moses knows already. He comes down, and I just have a feeling he went to a place where he could be seen by them. And Moses, I don't believe, was a sissy. Amen. Moses, and I tell you, I don't know that I could do this. This is a very, very gutsy thing. Moses, over his head, I believe, he takes those tables and he throws them on the ground. Breaks them. Only gone for 40 days, for goodness sake. And the people see this. And Aaron, Moses, you'll never guess what happened. Moses, they threatened me. They turned my arm and said they didn't know where you were. And I didn't either. So we threw all their gold in the fire and out came this calf. That's what the Bible says. Is that crazy? You look at me and you listen to me. Moses is the guy in charge. Aaron's now trying to backtrack. His own brother is trying to backtrack. Moses is mad. When you see in the Bible it says his anger waxed hot, that's mad. Amen. And Moses gets mad and says, bring me the cow. I don't think Moses ever talked real calm throughout this whole time. You can say what you want to say. I just envision Moses just being mad all the time now. Bring in the cow. They bring the cow. Moses starts to beat that. You know the story. He beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it until it turned into a powder. Beat it until it turned into a powder. That's beating. Stomping that sin. Oh, just stomping it. Israelites were, I've heard numbers, 2 million, let's say, or so. Who knows how many? Could millions of people. Beats this cow. And I didn't know this until just last week, and this is exciting. You've been in this church long enough. What has to be shed for remission of sin? Amen. The people sinned against God. They chose another God. By the way, you sin against God when you chose another God. Just a thought. These people had done this horrible thing, and Moses says, I'm going to try something, and I hope it works. It says, peradventure. Peradventure it works. I'm hoping this works. I'm hoping this satisfies God that's very, very bad right now. He takes this powder, and he straws it on the creek. And he makes the children drink of it. That had to be gross. He makes the children drink of it. Did you know this? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. When you throw gold into water, nothing happens. It's not soluble. Nothing happens. But if you beat it into a fine powder and you straw it upon the water, it turns blood red. Moses is trying to put a rewind button in their life. He's trying to tell his people, listen to me. We left Egypt because God brought us out. You got saved out of your miserable life because God brought you out. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and for me. People that hate him. Your flesh hates him. It's a battle every day. And what happens in your life is this. You decide that you're not going to wait on God to do something with you. And you decide that, you know what, God's not fast enough. You're not fast enough, God. I'm going to fashion my own thought and my own process. That's how we get to where we are in a lot of different things, because man looks through his eyes instead of looking through God's eyes. Man decides, this is what's going to happen because I know better than God. That is so, so sinful. Now, a lot of things we know to do. You don't have to wait to pray. I'm just going to pray about praying. I'm not sure. I'm going to pray about praying. You don't have to pray about coming to church. You don't have to pray about doing good things. You don't have to pray about that. That's simple. But would you be willing to pray that the Lord directs your steps today?
Amen.
Would you be willing to pray to the Holy Spirit to make a difference in your life, however long it takes?
Amen.
Because listen, if he makes you into a super Christian today, the land's going to be desolate and the beasts are going to overtake you. Little by little, I'm going to drive them out. Little by little, I'll take things out of your life. Little by little, I'll do things to make you into a stronger Christian. Little by little. Why in the world can't we wait on God? See, we don't wait on God and we make something for ourselves. We don't wait on God and we do something on our own. We won't wait on God. And because we won't wait on God, we do things on our own power and our own might. And that's just not worth anything, Christian. I would to God that we would realize that the Lord really does have a plan for each and every one of us, a will that is perfect. And one of those wills, and I'm all done, one of those wills is waiting on what God's will is. Doing things for God, doing things for him. Don't stop doing, I'm just going to stop right now doing stuff for God. Yep, I'm going to stop and wait on his will. Lord, until you show me your will, I'm not going to move. Oh, no, there's a lot to do that you know to do without it. That's God's will to do it.
Amen.
But I implored the teenagers in our school. When's the last time you saw a preacher come out of the teenagers? When's the last time you saw a missionary come out of the teenagers? When's the last time you saw a preacher get called out of our adult group here? When's the last time you saw somebody surrender to the call of God? When's the last time that somebody surrendered to the call of God actually followed through with the call of God? When's the last time that somebody surrendered, followed through, and then quit on the call of God? See, what happens is this. Along the way, there's going to be a time where you've got to wait on God to clear out the things that are in front of you, to let him go before you. Don't get ahead of God. You stay behind God. Let God go before you, because if you don't, you're going to be just making molten calves in your life. And that's not what God wants from you. He wants your obedience, but he wants your obedience on his terms, not your terms. I am sick and tired of these kids telling me, oh, I'm going to be a doctor someday. Nothing wrong with that. But I would to God, I just want to be what God wants me to be. I want to do what God wants me to do. Because I got to believe, Christian, he knows better than we do. Don't get ahead of him. Don't get ahead of him. Let God go before you. Because it seems to me whatever's before you is what you're going to be looking at. And if you leave God behind, he's not going to turn you around to take a look. You're going to keep walking and keep ignoring. There's people in this room right now. Oh, man. I thought I was done. There's people in this room right now. Right now. That one time or another in your life, God called you to do something and you didn't do it. God's not done with you. God's not done with you. He called you. He didn't make a mistake. Hello, Bobby Shell, I'm calling you to preach. Bobby said, okay. Bobby's still got to follow him. Still got to go with him. Still got to do what God's asked him to do. If Bobby hung up the phone and said, you got the wrong number, that's not doing what God asked you to do. Don't be afraid of what... And Christian, can I help you a little bit? When God calls somebody to do something, don't look at the person and say, God hasn't called you to do that. Have you ever... Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? God hasn't called you to do that. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. You're in sin right now. You can't do that. You look at me and you listen to me. I'm in sin every day of my life. God called me to be a preacher. I don't care what you think about that. He called me to be a preacher. Well, you can't preach. That's all right. God still called me. Amen. Glory to God. Sit and listen to somebody. You can't then. Works out great. If God calls you to understand this, make sure God calls you. There's enough people out there in this world that aren't called trying to do God's work. They're making molten calves all the time and telling the preacher, I didn't mean to do it. There's enough damage being done by people who aren't truly called. And let me help you. When you get called, Brother Mike, when you got called to preach, was there a doubt about that? Bobby Shell, when you got called to preach, was there a doubt about that? Brother Mark, when you got called to preach, was there a doubt about that? You know what? When I got called to preach, there was no doubt in my mind. No doubt. And what's funny is some of you have been called in this room to preach. You've been called to preach, and there was no doubt when you got called, yet you still ignored the call. And God's got a world that's dying and going to hell that needs some people in this room that have got more ability in their little finger than I've got in my whole body to be a preacher. Yet you sit there and I stand here. Get up. Oh, Lord have mercy. Get up. Don't forsake the call of God. Do what you're called to do without repentance, without sorrow. You just do it, brother. And sister. God calls ladies to be missionaries' wives. God calls ladies to be, listen, God calls ladies to be Sunday school teachers. God calls ladies to go knock on 95-year-old ladies that never been had their door knocked on before, too. God's got something for each and every one of us in this room. The days are growing short. Don't think for one minute that God doesn't have a job for you. The whole deal is you've got to do it. Don't get ahead of God. Little by little, let him make changes in your life. Little by little, let him do things. Let him go before you. Let him clear the way. Because if you let him clear the way, when the Red Sea comes, you're going to have a driveway through it. Amen. If you go on your own path, you get to the Red Sea, you better take a boat.
Yeah. Got that right. Yeah. Amen.
Don't go on your own. Let God go before you. Let it be your God, not a God. Let it be our Savior, not just some cow that you make out of gold. Let it be something that your Almighty does through you. Because then you can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I love this song. The last verse of this song. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It will forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. God loves you today. He's got a perfect, perfect job for you. Let Him do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I'm begging you tonight to have your will and have your way with the invitation. Lord, we're no good without you. The best that these people had to come up with, Lord, the best that they had to come up with was so far away from how great you are, it cannot even be put to words. Lord, the things that we substitute for you are amazing to me. The things that we substitute for your work and your ministry and the things that you need to have done, it's amazing what human beings like me will put in place of that. I believe every person in this room today has a golden calf. I believe it. I believe they've got golden calves, Lord, that they would rather do service under that king instead of the King of Kings. Lord, I'm hoping and praying that you beat that calf out of my existence. Beat it out. Lord, I need to have nothing to look at but you. Go before me in everything I do. Lord, we're unworthy, we're undone, and we need you. Lord God, there's people in this room right now, I believe this with all my heart, that are called to your service. They're either afraid or embarrassed or something has happened in their life where they just don't feel that they're worthy. Please, Lord, please let them know that they're not worthy, but you have made them worthy because of your call. Lord, give them that call. Let that call ring true in their ears so that they may hear it and that they may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is your call. And Lord, when they get the call, don't let them say they're sorry. Just let them say, I'm available. Lord, please help us tonight. Help us tonight to do what we're supposed to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I can't even venture an assumption that everybody in this room knows the Lord as their Savior. Can't do it. Room of this size, it's a very good chance that somebody in here doesn't know the Lord. We would be remiss to say, let's just close now. Because I'm going to be honest with you. This is probably the most important time of the whole service, is when you get to talk to God and He gets to talk to you. Many times we let the altar time, the invitation time go by without so much as an utterance to God. We're more interested in what we're eating for dinner tonight than what God's got on the table for us. Christian, can I help you? It used to be that there'd be hour and 2 hour long invitations with people crying and weeping to their God. Today, in the years past, we get a 5-second invitation and most of the people walk out before it's even started. Where are our hearts? Do we have a golden calf waiting for us out in the parking lot right now? Do we have a golden calf waiting at home for us that's more important than what's going on right now? Not because of me. I hope you'd understand that. But because of God being here. What's more important to us? We've got a job to do, and the time is growing short. We've got to be about that calling. We've got to be doing what God has appointed us to do. If you're unsaved in here tonight, let me ask this. If you're saved tonight, can you put your hand up real big and tall? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know 100% sure you're going to heaven. Put your hands up real big and tall. You may put them down. I don't believe everybody raised their hand. If you didn't raise your hand, it's not for me. I really don't. It doesn't bother me as so much as it bothers God. God is very interested in your soul. And how many could say, Brother Dave, I don't know for sure 100% that I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure, but I sure would like to get it settled tonight. You can get it settled tonight. How many will put their hands up real big? I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. That you do not know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Can you put your hands up real big and tall, please? Then I'm talking to a bunch of folks that love God. I'm talking to a bunch of folks that are anxiously awaiting His coming. And I'm talking to a bunch of folks that have been indoctrinated into an army. And God needs you. Let's be about His business. Let's be about it tonight. See, what's great about God is He made a way for you to repent. And after you repent, He says, okay, let's get started. He doesn't talk about your past. He says, let's just go ahead and get started. You say, you don't know what I've done. It's all right. God knows, and He's already taken care of it. Just come. That's all He wants you to do is come. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to preach. The ones that are getting baptized, Lord, please have them come forward now and start to get ready for that. Lord, please, I'm begging You tonight to make a difference in lives. Go up and down these pews tonight. Oh, it's a Sunday night. There's nothing more important than what's going on right now with your life. Lord, please work in the hearts of these people. Let them make some decisions tonight to put You first. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to look forward to serving You. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. While the piano plays, won't you come?